bit of good news for today. And she looks good.
Let me see.
That was from 1981, actually. Yeah, so 36 years ago, she looked great.
Now she looks like she works in a car wash.
She looks like an old leather bag.
Peabody, yeah. She looks like a refugee from Godspell.
Yeah.
And I've never seen Godspell. Someone
like
in seventh grade
said that.
Yeah. You know what? Let me just say, her looks aren't her.
Yeah.
Your looks aren't you. My looks aren't me.
Yeah. You're right.
You know?
My buddy Chuck told me after 40, everybody looks bad. And I think he's right.
How about when you look
everybody
at
looks awful.
Facebook and some chickadee I went to high school with, I carried her books one day, you look at her, you go, divorced,
yeah,
bloated.
Absolutely. And then they're interested in talking to you.
Yeah, well, I know.
It's like,
we've
talked
about that.
Yeah, my third marriage.
You
let's
know what
talk.
I do?
Let's get back together and we'll be friends.
You know what I do?
I was never friends with you before.
Well, I know you, but we're not friends.
Right.
I don't get married women's cars. We had that discussion with Marie when we all worked at Plum Choice.
Yeah, she was very nice.
And Bill Ricca.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but she would always offer me rides home because I ride my bicycle up the Bill Ricca Center Hill.
Yeah.
And she was always late. I'm talking 5, 10, 15 minutes. She didn't think it was that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Me, no, I'm there 20 minutes before my shift because I have to make coffee with Sandy Kitchen before the shift starts. And even Sandy Kitchen went, can I bring in some coffee of mine and some coffee filters? You can do whatever you want, Sandy. We want to give you some money because you have a coffee grinder and a Dunkin' Donuts bag. Because...
She was very nice, though.
If you have a nice... I know, it was me in that situation. Yeah. I was overly judgmental.
Yeah.
And she said, we want to give you some money because we know it's $8 a pound. Listen, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat before you work your shift and have a nice beverage in your cubicle, you'll be less of a pain in the butt.
Exactly. Yeah.
Don't come in hungry.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be irritated. And then you're going to look at fat people like Chris and Larry and go, maybe with the right wine, they'd be kind of tasty.
I have a thought.
Yeah.
So I was in this past job, okay? I'm not going to mention where it was. It was in healthcare, right? And I started working with this other team. And then I get on this show, and I think I might have told you this.
Yeah.
But so I get there, and I decide, you know, what would be a nice thing to do for these 12 people that are on my team? And so I basically, the Ringling Brothers Bond and Bailey Circus was ending. So I said, well, why don't we go to the circus? So I'll look into getting us some tickets, right? And they had like a group thing. You could get some $10 tickets, but they were way up the top or whatever. So I go there. And first of all, this is what happens now, too. If you try to put anything together, I need to know by October 1st. And, of course, October 1st comes, the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and five people still haven't responded to you. Oh, I don't know. And I'm just like, I'm just looking for interest because I'm going to pick up the tickets. I'm going to purchase the tickets. So no respect there. They don't even get back to you. So I go in and I pick up some tickets. They're not $10 because I had to buy 12 that were together. So I got like $20 tickets, right? So I come back. And I basically get the tickets, and I tell a couple of people. And a few people are like, well, you know, and they don't tell me this. They tell the boss this. Well, I didn't know the price was going to change, right? I didn't know, and we should have talked about this. And I don't feel comfortable talking to Chris about it. So here we are, and it's, what, $10, right? Here was my response to them before my boss got involved. I'll just purchase them the ticket. No big deal. It's $20. Who cares? You know, it's $240. It just started on the team. It's not a big deal. You know, consider it a gift. They felt that they would owe me something if I gave them that gift, right? So they basically went and talked to the boss, and the boss is like, "Well, if you ever do anything like this again, you know, make sure that we talk about it before you purchase the tickets." And I went out of my way to drive over, pick up a dozen tickets, get on this. So long story short, we finally get there. And they have their little micro groups of friends, and they bring their kids, and, you know, basically it doesn't become a team hangout and get to know you anymore. It becomes whatever the hell they want to do. So my answer was, you know what? I'm never doing this again. That was my answer.
Don't do anything for anybody.
No, that's it. Never do it again.
And if they ask you, say, we have to put all this in writing. And if you change your mind, you still owe me $20.
So anyway, after that bitch fired me. Yeah.
How come...
I got laid off, but I think she fired me because I'm a mid-wage white fight guy. Yeah. I don't know. That was another one.
Some kind of medical coding you did?
Well, I could say the company. I just don't want it because I don't even promote
coding,
them
right?
anyway. But it was, similar,
I asked you, I go, is there any chance I can hook into that job? You went, no, I have no control over it.
In the background, Talking Heads. Building on fire. Love is a building on fire. And ain't that the truth?
I never heard this, but can I make a request on you?
Sure. What do you want to hear? Deliverance banjo?
No. Love Jones.
Love Jones.
Yeah, by the Brighter Side of Darkness. The track is called Love Jones. The band is Brighter Side of Darkness. And this was a takeoff of Cheech and Chong's Basketball Jones.
Oh, I love Basketball
so
Jones.
So when you hear this song, you go, oh. So.
Do I have to play it now?
No, no, no. Look,
I got
you know it's
up.
Segue. You know how to spell Q. You know how to spell Segue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spell
S-E-S-E-G-W-A-Y.
No. No,
the Segue.
The Segue.
The Segue. It's S-E-G-U-E, which I always thought was siege. Like siege.
No, I never did.
Yeah, sieg.
Let me
S-E-G-U-E, sieg.
Let me do a couple of news stories from my act, and then the weather forecast, and then...
Before you do that, I was the runner-up of Massachusetts for spelling champion in 1982.
You never told the Jerry Seinfeld UMass story.
No, I'm going to. It's in the backup. I want you to do your thing, and we're going to do a song or two, and then I'll tell that, because it's such a fun story.
Let me
it's
write it down.
It's building up too much, though.
Because it was a great song.
It next to Ralphie with an X.
No, I'm going to put Jerry Saves the Day.
Was the X for Ralphie, like, I need to call him, or I hope he's okay and not dead?
I don't know. I was just doodling the word segue.
I like that guy.
Doing.
I never hear from him anymore.
Who?
Ralphie.
So what?
And Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld.
He had nothing to do with me after that night.
Here's Jerry Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. Who are these people? Paul Reiser. Who are these people? Don Gavin. Who are these people? Jerry saves the day. All right. So you want a couple of news stories, quick weather?
Oh, yeah, you were going to do something.
And then I want you to tell your Jerry Saves the Day.
Oh, I will. Yeah,
stupid contest.
Yes.
Showbiz stories.
That was relatively early on in my
showbiz
career.
Showbiz stories are great, you know, whether they're funny or not.
And Caroline Ray was in there, too. Did I tell you that?
Oh, my God, I work with Caroline Ray. She called me naturally funny. I went
really?
In the restroom and cried.
I love her.
I got wet at the wrong end of my body. I was very emotional that night. But, yeah, she went, Larry's naturally funny. And I went... No one's ever going to say that to me again. And she meant it.
She was pretty. And she was
beautiful.
Funny.
1991.
Yeah.
Now she's kind of blown up. She used to have an hourglass figure, but the sand ran out. But that's all right.
Yeah. How do you feel about Elaine Boozler?
I like her, but I can see she's a troublemaker. I can see the troublemaker in her, too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But and the crazy hair. She had crazy hair.
When Max Alexander died, she's on YouTube and she's hugging his headstone and giving her own personal, I don't know what you call it.
Yeah.
Send off.
Mm-hmm.
And she's...
It's a match.
The headstone was laid down flat, so she was actually lurching forward, hugging it. That's why I don't do wakes and funerals.
Come on,
No, but that's why I don't do wakes and funerals, because if your father dies, if and when, and I'll probably come to the wake if it's set up that way.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see you on your...
I don't think I'm going to come.
I don't want to see you on your knees sobbing either.
Sure, of course.
Because it's going to destroy me.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go to Brigham's.
You're like, I'm not used to Chris that way.
No, I don't mind if you cry, but just do it privately in a quiet place, not in public.
Yeah, yeah.
So, a couple of news stories. This is my act, of course, from 1990. An artist was arrested today. Details are sketchy. A horse was shot at the racetrack. He's listed in stable condition. It turns out they served iceberg lettuce on the Titanic.
Like that one.
When I listened to the weather forecast, the meteorologist, Bruce Schwegler, Dickie, what's his name, just passed, right?
Yes.
Dickie Albert. Dickie Albert.
We used to call him backwards, Albert the,
Oh, no, see, I wasn't, I was young and needed the money. I wasn't around. And so they go, when they give a forecast, it sounds like my love life. Occasional scattered women, heavy at times, temps in the 40s. All right, tell your Jerry Seinfeld fabulous showbiz story.
Oh, I used to do one that has sex with me is like Boston traffic, heavy and slow. You like that?
I like what I said better.
I know. The Year of the Cat, 1990.
Yep, I know it.
Yeah, so I'm out at UMass, and I'm doing the CERTS comedy competition.
CERTS?
CERTS, yeah, you remember CERTS?
Yes, it had Redson.
It has a drop of Redson in it.
A drop of Redson.
And so they basically had 15 people. You could sign up and do 5 minutes. This is 1990. So I had done a number of shows or whatever, and I'm out at UMass, and I start to write some stuff. So I sign up for it, and, you know, it's like 3 months out or whatever, and, you know, they hire, like, you know, Robbie Prince or something was doing, like, you know, college stuff. And Caroline Ray was there, and Jerry Seinfeld was there. And they decided that the show was going on too long because people were going way over their time. Nobody was monitoring them. Nobody was doing anything about it. They said no swears.
What number were you again?
I was number 15. So I was basically the headliner in the competition. Right. And so they're cutting it off at 10. And Caroline Ray was basically like, well, you know, we have to cut this off, because I went up and I'm like, you know what, I've been doing comedy, you know, I was looking forward to this, I hadn't done it in a few months. And Jerry Seinfeld comes back from wherever he was, a bathroom, and he's like, what's going on? He's like, well, this guy wants to go up, and he's number 15, you know, we're cutting it off at 10. And he goes, we'll put it up. That was it. Right. We'll put him up.
Put 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15 on, not just you.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me that. It's like,
I did well.
But people, the girl, people in charge approached Carol. They threw it on her lap. She didn't want to end it early, right?
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to put everybody on. I think two people just walked by.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
People do that here at the radio station.
No,
they'll come
cool.
by and, you know, somebody will wave. If somebody will come in, they'll clean something. Or
how old is the program director, station manager here?
Oh, I don't know. You know,
have
like
you ever
14.
Met them?
They're like 14.
14?
Yeah. It's Tufts Freeform Radio, everybody. It's WMFO in Medford.
Why don't you give the phone number? If there's any comedians out there that have had a problem with you or me,
yeah, yeah.
Call up. We'll hammer it out over the air. How about, can you do that for me? Forget you.
It's 855-915-9636. If you want to call and make a 70s request.
815 is the area code?
It's 855, it's the new 800 number. It's one of the new 800 numbers. Yes.
Two new people.
And it's 855-915-9636. If you want to call in and make a request, I can't guarantee I'm going to pick up the phone, because I'm going to see who's calling. If I don't want to talk to you, I'm not talking.
Hello.
Yeah.
Excuse me for interrupting.
Larry's talking to people off the air, which makes great radio.
You speak Spanish?
Yeah.
I'm talking about
now. They're doing their job.
¿Quieres comer y no trabajar? Me.
I don't know what that means.
She does.
Oh, okay. All right.
That means you want to eat, but you don't want to work. But when I used to say that to Spanish people, I would just say it, and they went, you're talking about me? No, that's not why I say it. I'm talking about me. And when I was a waiter at Joe Tetchy's in the North End in 1984, only the Spanish people found me funny.
Yeah.
Anybody non-white found me funny. But
you were ahead of your time.
Yeah, well, not anymore.
Yeah.
I know this band's from...
The Brass Balls. That's what it takes.
I don't know what it takes. I don't really know what I'm doing. That's why I'm petrified. Mm-hmm. I don't mind this. Microphone with no vision.
Right, right.
But you put me in front of 400 people.
Really?
There's panic. I don't know who said it, but I don't have stage fright. I have life fright.
Yeah, see, I'm better with 400 people in front of me, and then I don't talk to them at all, and I just leave. And then I go to the bar and talk to one or two people there.
Okay. What about that long walk off stage to wherever you're going to the back of the room?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you feel more self-conscious there? Cutting down the aisle.
I'm usually like, boy, that was good. I'm usually, man, I'm good.
You mean you know you're good. Like you know when you stink, too.
Yeah. No, there's a couple of things, and this is where, you know, as time goes by, you don't care. You get to the point, and I think you're one of the people that don't care. I don't care. You know, there's a few people that don't care, but there's not many of them.
I think
where
I care.
Like, I didn't put this in, or I did this joke first.
No,
you could do this. You can add this. Who cares?
You know what I care?
Who cares? Did they laugh? That's all that matters.
I care if they leave and didn't find me funny and don't tell me.
Really?
Yeah, because they could take a minute and go, you know, and I've had this said to me 100 times, I can't believe what you get away with. And I say, either can I.
Yeah.
But I'm different today. I think you have to include the audience today.
You'd rather have people come up and give you the bruised ego so you could be better?
I don't know what I'm seeking. We're comics. We want to be liked.
Mm.
¿Quieres comer y no trabajar? She knows.
Yeah.
See,
she's
laughing. Same joke she laughed at twice in a row.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But she's got a rocket launcher vacuum cleaner on her back.
Larry is performing to people here in the studio, as well as the city of Medford.
You can vacuum if you want. We don't care if it makes noise. Mm-hmm. You speak English too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could vacuum. We don't care.
Yeah, yeah. It might make the show a little better.
This is non-profit.
Yeah.
So we don't care.
Yeah, you can vacuum. Go ahead.
Nothing to get away with.
Yeah.
$1, please.
There we go.
$1 to vacuum.
We've got the vacuum. We've got the AC going.
Yeah.
It's good radio.
Just don't do any vacuum jokes.
No, no, no. No, they suck. How do you like that one?
I just told you.
How do you like that one?
Did you go to UMass Amherst and graduate?
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah.
What do you have a degree in?
I actually had communications, comparative literature, and the first film certificate. I was one of about 10 people that got a film certificate there. So I had the comparative literature and communications double major. I started as a journalist, and then I thought, well, I'm not going to make any money. And of course, I went to communications and comparative literature because I knew, you know, that was going to make me a lot of money.
So no liberal arts.
I went right into customer service crap as soon as I got out of school, you know.
Did you work at the college radio station?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Albums only.
Yes, exactly. Wow. Yeah, yeah. I worked at the. There was two radio stations. There was an actual regular radio station at UMass, and there was also one in the dorms, which had like a transmitter that emitted like 5 watts. So you just got like the dorm rooms.
But one station was for football, sports, and stuff.
Oh sure, yeah. It was for everything to do with UMass. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they got a pretty darn good hockey team these days. But you don't care about sports.
No. Right.
Why not? What's
I just
the problem?
Don't. Well, it's the same thing of like wanting to talk about politics. To me, it's like, you know what? I'm not an expert. Same thing with religion for me. I'm not an expert in it. I chose not to learn about it. I have nothing to add. But however, if people are passionate about that, I usually yes them. Or I go, okay. You know, like if you're like, okay, so, you know, Dickie Ward, you know, did this and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, that's good. You know, it's like I saw the movie. But I don't have a whole lot to add. I like boxing, actually. Boxing, and yeah, I enjoy the Celtics.
Yeah.
But I met Tom Brady years before he was big, too. And I've told that story a number of times. And people are like, well, how the hell did you not know it was Tom Brady? I'm like, well, he was a backup quarterback. I didn't know him, and I didn't follow the Patriots.
Sure,
so how
Bledsoe
was I supposed to know? Exactly.
String.
Yeah, so I used to hang out with, we saw the Fools in Ipswich a number of times. You remember that band? We should play the Fools. That's 70s.
You ever hear
stuff.
Sad Story by the
Fools?
Oh,
Greytone. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, what about my song?
Dave Radigan's a big fan of the Fools.
Dave
too.
Radigan.
Yeah, he doesn't call me either.
Dave Radigan could fall off a boat and miss the water.
Yep.
No,
another
he's
guy,
already.
Like, you know, good businessman.
Yeah.
Funny? You think he's funny?
When I first saw him in 1994-ish, no. Mm-hmm. And he knew it.
But now that he has a room and he could give you some money, yes?
No, I don't care about it. No, you invited me up to his room in Salisbury a few years ago.
Yeah, where I can't go anymore. Yeah, another story.
I got there at 10 a.m. because I didn't want to be late.
Yeah.
And I walked along the area. Mm-hmm. And I like Salisbury.
Yeah.
But Dave walked by me. He came in that night.
Mm-hmm.
I think even if you're hosting, he still comes in to make sure all the comics show up, right?
Yeah, and he wants to get his money, yeah.
He walked by me and looked at me and didn't shake my hand.
Yeah.
I don't think I was one of his favorite people, but I don't need to patch anything up with him.
I thought
I'm
I was good friends with him, but no.
You
he chose his side.
I'm going to bump into all these people who have had a problem with me over the years. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to set up a date. I'm going to bump into them maybe at the Paradise or something.
I'm not going to bump into any of them.
Well,
that's my opinion. They're all going to fail without me.
I can't force it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not kismet. I don't believe in stupid karma.
I don't either. You're going to push it along, though. You can push it along.
Yeah, I'm gonna bump into someone at... You know how Paula Williams used to say Demoulas?
Demoulas, huh?
No, yeah. Paula Williams used to call it Demoulas's.
Demoulas's,
I'm
going
to bump into someone at Demoulas's and say, you want to go out for a frap? And if you're with your kids...
A frappe.
I'm not going to make an appointment. But if you're all by yourself, you got 20 minutes, we're going to probably work together with someone.
Yeah.
And if you don't like me and I don't like you, we still got to work together.
All right, name me a comic who got funnier after they had kids. Any of them?
All of them.
Really?
Yeah, because they talk about having kids.
Sure.
When I watch someone, and this doesn't apply to new people, do I see potential in them?
Okay.
That's what I see. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do if they become a genius in 2 years and ask you to tour with them? You're going to say, no, I don't really find you that funny? You're going to take the gig.
Yeah.
If it's $9.50 a week and a bus and lodging.
I don't like this whole thing about everybody having to be careful and, you know, just pat each other on the bum all the time and say good job.
Yeah, but you're not that guy. You're not careful.
I'm not careful.
All right,
I'm very dangerous.
What do you care?
I think you and I bring an element of danger into comedy, which it doesn't exist anymore.
You can't shock people anymore.
Right. I think Bill Burr's still pretty good. He's great.
He's a great friend of mine.
Yeah, yeah.
And earlier today, he's from Canton, Mass.
Yeah.
If y'all don't know it, he's huge.
Yeah. He's great.
He still ticks people off.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, I'm listening to WBZ at high noon today.
Mm-hmm.
And a 72-year-old guy from Canton has been missing for 3 hours. So I texted Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Could be his dad.
Really?
Could be his uncle.
Yeah.
Could be somebody he knows.
Yeah.
Could be a priest that deserves to be missing.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Knows.
That's the thing that was published on Facebook recently. 4 months ago, Bill was in New York on a television morning show.
Yep.
And the stupid host said, don't you think you're a little too hard on...
Ridiculous.
Catholic material.
Ridiculous.
And Bill says, don't you think priests are too hard?
That's right.
Yeah, how about that?
Exactly.
No answer, right?
I love...
Don't mess with the comics.
And we were talking about this on the ride in. We haven't seen each other in a little while, but it's always that, oh, I'm an expert and I'm on the same level as you. And it's like you're not.
No,
an interviewer is not on the same level as somebody that does it for a living. Don't think
That's
you're
right.
going to be witty. Don't think that you're going to say something that is so revolutionary it's going to make the biggest laugh of the show. And you have a person that's that you should respect, that your guest on the show. Allow them to do their thing and sit back.
We are a few sentences ahead of the rest of the world.
That's true.
And do you remember a talk show host named Bruce Williams?
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah.
This is how he would start a show every day.
Mm-hmm.
He was back in 1982. He started off a Talk Net.
Yes.
And Sally Jessy Raphael was on that roster, too, I swear to God.
With the red glasses.
Yeah, she's got a nice voice and a snappy mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Bruce Williams would start his radio show just like this. Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce Williams. I invite people to call in that disagree with me. I'll put you at the front of a line.
Yeah.
I'm an expert on one thing, my opinion. Nobody knows more about my opinion than me.
Right, right.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So, in other words, please disagree and call me up.
Yeah.
Please. And it would always happen. And the callers would ruin talk radio back then. Today, the callers are pretty smooth and slick.
Yeah. See, I can't do just talk radio. I enjoy talking when I have somebody like yourself that's, you know, a guest and a friend that, you know, we know each other pretty well. And it's like, you don't care if I step over you. I don't care if you step over me. It's for the good of the program. It's for enjoyable. And you also trust that person to bring it in the right direction.
Well, you got to say it while it hits you because you may forget it.
Exactly. Yeah. Because we're so scatterbrained because we have a million things firing off, all kinds of synapses that they could firing.
When I walk down the street and two people are on each side of the sidewalk and they're talking, I cut through and go, pardon the interruption.
Yeah.
Because my 250-pound body mass is going to cut a half a second of vocal out.
Yeah. I got up to 270, man. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And the thing is I don't see it. You know,
you
guys
exercise.
Have to look at it. I don't know.
I don't look at your body.
I do the elbow wrists.
Yeah.
You know?
I look at you from the neck up.
But here's the other thing, too, is you go through the periods of other people, you know, it's like other people destroying your ego, you know?
Shame on you for letting them get to you.
Oh, I know. I'm all right. I'm better now.
Well, it's because
we
reignited our relationship.
Yes.
Because if you get stuck on something, I could probably give you a good, fun-loving advice, but if you don't apply the advice, screw you.
Yeah. I got a family member ask for advice all the time, and one of my friends hates him because he gives him the advice and then he does the exact opposite of his advice. And it's like ask a plumber that's been doing it for 20 years, hey, you know, I had to fix the toilet. They're like, oh, listen, this is what you do, three things, blah, 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 and then you don't do any of the three? That plumber's not going to talk to you anymore.
Well, I see your friend's point that they're acting maybe hurt because they want you to chew their food for them, and you just don't do that because your teeth aren't that good looking either.
My teeth aren't bad. I got the English big book of British smiles. I'm in the big book of British smiles.
You got Guinness,
the Charles
Guinness Ireland teeth.
Yeah,
that's all right.
I got like the little snaggle tooth going.
Snaggle.
Like Katie Holmes, you know. Cute, but with the little snaggle tooth.
I didn't understand that relationship. Tall Katie with short Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Well, it was the whole Scientology thing. They set each other up and supposedly both benefit out of it. Who knows?
I don't know.
I love Tom Cruise. I think he's great. I don't care about the Scientology thing. Does he make a good movie? That's what I care about.
I don't think he's that good, but I'm not.
Oh, see Mission Impossible. New one? Fantastic.
Which one? Mission Impossible Pie?
Yeah,
how many are there?
Fantastic.
I don't like action films. Horror films.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, this is the new buzz sentence today. I like documentaries.
Yeah.
I rented Albert Einstein from the Lincoln, Nebraska Library 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
First sentence. Albert Einstein married his cousin. I ejected the seat. I'm not going to watch that.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's first, second, third, fourth cousin.
Yeah.
It's a freak show.
The guy was a genius. Maybe he's onto something.
And I still don't know what the theory of relativity is.
Man.
I can't understand it.
EMC squared, whatever.
E equals MC Hammer.
Yeah.
What about Larry Miller says?
Oh, he's great. Love
Larry Miller, the theory of relativity. Time goes slower when you're with your relatives. And, you know, I come from a Nazi family. That's why I'm interested about how much time you spend with your father and mother.
Mm-hmm.
You spend more time with your dad than your mom.
How about the great Gary Shandling? Did you like Gary Shandling? He was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Ah, fantastic.
He was great.
Fantastic.
David Steinberg asked Gary Shandling one time, have you ever thought of killing yourself? Mm-hmm. Gary Shandling says, well, I have a note. I wrote a note, just in case.
Yeah.
I was on a Greyhound bus from Vegas to Iowa when he died.
Were you?
I met a guy named Angelo. He sat a couple of seats in front of me.
Yeah.
And of course, I told him I was a comedian, and we drive like 90 miles. He goes, have you thought of anything funny to say? I go, yeah, I was just about to get up and tell you.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, Gary Shandling just died. I go, I know, I saw it, because it was free Wi-Fi on the Greyhound.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in dater. I don't want to pay for it, even though I have a free phone. So,
my grandmother met David Brenner down in Disney.
David Brenner, really?
Yeah, you remember David Brenner?
Ooh, do I remember David? Are you kidding me? Go ahead, I'm Judd too, with Kevin Knox.
So she's having a smoke and a drink. You know, my grandmother's in the 80s at the point, down in Disney, like, the, you know, the, wherever they let you have a drink and a smoke in Disney, you know, so off campus somewhere. And David Brenner's there, and he had been performing at the hotel or whatever. And my mom came down to find out where my grandmother was. And, of course, my mom knew who David Brenner was. My grandmother had no clue. So she's like, oh, my God, David Brenner, blah, blah. As soon as David Brenner saw my mom, boom, walked away.
He didn't walk away.
He walked right away. He's just like,
why?
Nice to meet you, Sally.
Do you understand
away.
That?
I think part of it is because a lot of people like the enjoyment of, especially if you get a little bit of fame, you like talking to somebody who doesn't know who you are. Because Tom Brady loved talking to me. And then all of a sudden, you know, he disappeared because he started getting famous.
What if you were on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson and Tom Brady walked over to you and said, I saw you on The Tonight Show the other night. Would you run away?
No.
Me either.
No.
I love getting recognized.
Yeah.
It helps. A couple times at Fenway Park, a couple of times at Bruins games. Mm. The problem I have is...
Not if you're in the police log. That's bad. Like a picture of...
I have pretty good headshots.
That one fell.
Outside of JFK, I got the best headshots in showbiz.
Oh.
I don't care. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what about...
Remember... go ahead.
No, I'm trying.
Remember the Walter Mondale joke that Sam Kennison had? When he was swinging from the sink? And basically talking about the landslide election with Reagan and Mondale. Mondale, like, wins Minnesota, and that was it. And he's like, how's the rest of his life going? And basically, you know, his wife's like, Walter, come for dinner, and Walter's on the sink. Like, the rope around
Walter's
his head.
On the sink.
Yeah, yeah. Walter Mondale. Yeah.
I have to hear the original joke.
It was like the second appearance on Letterman. He did it, too. Oh, yeah. It was pretty funny.
I like when Sam would go on Letterman and go,
this is family comedy, right?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. I don't want to crack a 10-year-old up.
Yeah.
I don't care if 10-year-olds think
Are you Santa Claus?
Mm-hmm. No, get some teeth. Shut mm-hmm. up.
He had an element of danger there, and that was nice, Sam Kennison.
Well, I'll bet you liked Letterman more than Jay Leno or Johnny Carson.
You know what? I can't stand Letterman now.
Okay,
I liked him then. Yeah. I liked him then. And now, to me, he's somebody who is recreating his celebrity status. He acts like, you know, he's semi-retired, good old man with a kid and a wife.
A beard.
Yeah, and the crazy beard, you know, but... I really think he had some good people behind him to save face based on what happened with him. But I also think what happened with him, it's like, who cares? You know, he just got married. He was with an intern, whatever it was, you know, who cares? But the whole part of like the person trying to get money from him and stuff, that was pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
The extortion thing, yeah.
Did he pay that off? We don't know.
Oh, no, he went to the cops, and they arrested the guy. But it was, like, right after he got married and had the kid, and, you know, it was a big to-do.
I don't think he got married until after the kid, but usually that don't work.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Like that girl you were talking about earlier, about our call center friend.
Sure.
Been pregnant 5 times, and this was 6.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's never been married. I just stay away from people like that because it's just not going to work.
Well, you know something works.
Yeah, so what? You can whip up a batch on...
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
Whoop-dee-doo.
Yeah. Slip Kid in the background, The Who.
I know.
You like The Who?
Yes. I can't do... I can see for miles, and I can't do Won't Get Fooled Again. Everything else I'm fine with.
Keith Moon gone. John Entwistle gone. Next tour, who's left? How do you like that?
I don't think John Bonham was one of the greatest drummers of all time. What do you think?
From Zeppelin?
Yeah.
No. Keith Moon was great.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah. Keith Moon, I don't think he...
I don't know. He was just a drunk.
John Bonham was great.
He was a drunk. He was a monkey that just slammed on the drums.
He drank himself to death.
He's got some of the best stories, though. Do you hear the one about him jumping out the hotel window into the pool and there's no water in the pool and breaks all of his teeth?
No, I don't remember that.
Great story.
That's
breaks the entire bridge.
That's a drunk. He maybe thought it was a keg. What did it look like to
him? Let's go swimming, Keith.
Imagine
boom.
That?
Yeah. Awful.
Yeah, I don't have much to do with low-quality people. How about you these days? Have you figured out that if we're not compatible, I don't see any reason why we should both be in the same room?
Yeah, it's
what
true.
How about you, yeah?
I try to spend the least amount of time with people as I can now.
Whether you like them or not?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
I've become kind of reclusive.
You're peopled out.
Yeah. A little Zeppelin in the background. I have Orson Welles with the Frozen Peas ad that we can do. Do you like that one?
I sent that to you,
didn't
I?
That's fantastic. You might have, yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Because it's fantastic.
It is great, but he does say, get me a jury and I'll go.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yeah, well, we'll see. Yeah. I've played it before, so we'll see.
Enjoy your fall.
I've been in
vacation.
Hot water lately, I know.
Yeah, but at some point
this could be the last days of Chris Earle. You never know.
Yeah, and then, you know, because you're not getting paid, you should get a gas allowance or a Hoagie Carmichael sandwich or something out of this.
Yeah. No, I get some tickets and things from time to time.
Yeah, but your time is worth something.
Yeah, and
you've got to realize
paid in a sandwich.
Yeah, I bought you a coffee.
Oh, this was nice. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, whoop-de-doo. We're going back for a receipt, because if you get a pay gig, you can deduct it from your overall taxes.
Itemize it, yeah.
The thing is, that what it's called?
Yeah.
The thing is, you're good.
Thank you.
You should get paid.
Yeah.
Whether you're telling jokes.
That's right.
Or open a microphone, or pushing buttons, or not answering the request line here, whatever you do. Your time is what's worth something. You have to commute 40 minutes on the average to get here, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been busting my ass for 11 years doing this show.
You avoid Revere Beach Parkway because I know it takes a toll on you. But this is a pretty cool community, Medford. There's a lot of great people here. I'll bet you've learned that.
I love Medford. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Do you ever wish you were born here?
I don't think about it, but I wish. Yeah, I think parts of me. Yeah.
You were born at Tewksbury State Hospital?
Yeah, I remember. I was from Tewksbury. I went to high school in Tewksbury.
And that's no longer a hospital. It's a nut house.
Yeah. Well, it was a little bit. It was always that way.
Really?
It was always kind of a sad place, but then it got a budget, and they ripped it down, put up some, you know, a shinier nut house. Yeah.
If there's anyone out there listening, if you'd like to give the phone number again, right now.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you do it. I can't see
it. It's 855-915-WMFO if you want to call in, make a request, or say hello to Larry.
I want someone out there.
I don't want anybody to say hello to me. I'm good.
Yeah, right. I want Larry for all myself. if there's anyone that works for MassHealth and it's Friday, your doors are still open, right? It's not 5 p.m. It's 3:30.
Oh, yeah. This time.
Temperature 82. That's 18 Celsius. You've got hate mail. I want to know if you can still go to Tewksbury State Hospital and fill out MassHealth forms.
Because, you must be able to. Yeah.
Because I don't have a job yet.
You could do it online, too.
No, I'm homeless, technically, on paper. So, you know, if I say I have a job, well, to see if your job provides health insurance.
Even health insurance companies don't provide health insurance lately at a lot of places.
Even if you pay?
Sometimes,
like
you can get a job in health insurance, and then they don't even offer health insurance.
Really?
Or they'll offer health insurance, but not their own health insurance. That happened at a number of places I was at.
Or you could turn it down and say, right now I elect not to have health insurance.
Yes.
That's the way to go.
Yeah. You just got to roll the dice, man.
And once they find out you're not a dumb foreigner, they'll bill you.
Yeah. I was, you got to be careful, though, because you can get injured from time to time. I was burning some logs and some sticks. And the thing is the whole night goes by, right? And I had a few pops, like I do with the fire, right? So So then the night goes by, I put out the fire, and then at the very end of the night, what I do is I get inside and I put on these slipper shoes, you know, like the shoes without the thing. So I put on the slipper shoes and I just like go down the steps just to see that the fire's out, like a good guy. And of course, I roll my ankle, and I'm like, man, it still hasn't been the same for months.
Did you
months
fall
later.
Down the whole flight?
No, just a couple. Just one.
That's
two.
Enough to horrify you, though.
Yeah. But I didn't hear it pop, so it was fine.
Phone was just ringing, I believe.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, there it is. It's
all
back.
Right. We can see who this is, and we will play some Love Jones. It is WMFO here in Medford, Massachusetts.
By the brighter side of darkness, Love Jones from the 70s.
What's happening, baby? Did you miss me over the weekend? If you did, I'm sorry. But now that I'm here, I don't want to bore you with a long, irrelevant conversation. But you see, darling, I think it's about time for me to get real serious about you. Because if someone was to rip me off for you, I couldn't account for my actions afterwards. And the way I'd feel, knowing that you should have been mine all the time. But you see, I not only want you, baby, but I need you. And the need is so strong, it's almost like that of a junkie. In other words, baby, I just got to have you. Listen to me, darling. Please, listen to me. What is a love, Jones? Shucks, darling. It's when you love someone very, very much and you just can't seem to get yourself together. Like last Friday in class, when Mr. Russell was giving us the test, I was sitting up staring at you and daydreaming. I know I failed, huh? A test paper with nothing but my name on it? I guess anybody can have a love, Jones. It's just love, but true love. The way I feel about you, that's a love, John. If you've comprehended anything I've said, and you find that you do love me, then all I want to hear from you, doll, is that you too have a love, Jones.
darling. I want you so.
I love your sweet, sweet lips.
I love your salty taste.
I love your fingertips.
When I reach for your waist.
Like,
Dawn, that's the end.
Shut up and go to bed. Sounds like my hacked, my first 4 months took me 2 years to get a laugh.
That's Interjections. That's Schoolhouse Rock from ABC.
Do you know who the singer is?
What's his name? John Sebastian.
John Sebastian sang Summer in the City. Do you want to hear it or you want to just...
Summer in the City? No. We'll talk over it. Welcome back, Carter. You mentioned Carter or something, so...
That was a talented cast. Everybody... Every scene in that sitcom was funny, like Cheers.
And Juan Epstein.
All of them. Hey, Mr. Carter.
Yeah, that whole group was great. Gabe Kaplan, very funny.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a gambler, I guess. He's on... People watch poker on TV. You got to watch him play cards on TV. No, I don't.
Yeah.
Oh.
I saw him a couple of times. Pretty good.
The producer of 60 Minutes, I forget his name, Mike something.
Uh-huh.
He said...
Wallace?
Nope. Wasn't Mike. This is the producer, Don Hewitt. I got it.
Okay.
Don Hewitt said, when they first put us on the TV, I think it was 1968-ish, people were saying, television's a fad. It's not going to last. Turns out it was a fad, and it did last.
Yeah.
Yeah, it chased people out of the movie theaters, and now... Netflix has chased people out of everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did you see...
Doing some streaming.
Did you see Bill Burr's special on Netflix? It said, In Memory of Kevin Knox at the end?
Yeah. Great.
I saw him.
Very funny guy.
I saw him. He got me two free tickets in Omaha two Rocktobers ago.
Yeah.
Because a guy in Iowa named Andrew Kness, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, we used to work in call centers back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
He posted on Facebook, he was watching... September 9th, 2 years ago. Wow, that's almost today's date.
Mm-hmm.
Then my uncle, the Iowa Hawkeyes, scored a football touchdown, and my uncle jumped up and down, and then he fainted.
Uh-huh.
And he had a heart attack.
Really?
And he did die.
Wow.
So I got in contact with Bill. I said, Bill, I'm Bill Burr. I'm in Omaha for now. Andrew Kness's uncle was watching the Hawkeyes, and he dropped dead. And is there any way I could... get Andrew to leave Cedar Rapids, Iowa, come to Omaha, and you can get us two free tickets for the show.
No problem, Pooch. They'll be at the front door, and if there's any problems, you call me. I'll come right down.
So we got in, and then we did a little partying after the show, and in a wonderful hotel lobby restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, Bill said to Andrew, dude, you're the only one that's making it uncomfortable for me. So mm-hmm. I think I made a mistake. But no, Andrew was in awe. I think he thought he was meeting Elvis or something. I go, no, Bill's down to earth.
Right.
And he bought him a couple of drinks, and he just kept staring at him. Oh.
Marvin Hamlisch.
He's dead, too. Do you have any artists that haven't died yet you can play?
Well, these are all from the 70s, so
I know
a lot
that.
Of them are dead. Yeah.
That's
pretty good. We still got Mick and Keith. We'll play some more Stones in a minute. I always like some Stones. Sucking in the 70s, I always play at least one or two Stones songs.
You don't want me pants to fall down now, do you?
Mm-hmm. What were you doing in the 70s? Were there good memories in the 70s?
Oh, yeah. I was born in 59.
Yeah.
I'll probably die first.
Uh-huh.
But, so like in 1972, I was 13, 14, a freshman in high school.
Yeah.
Dark Side of the Moon and Goodbye Yellow Brick Road came out, so I was all set for 2 years. And Bad Company knocked everybody off the charts.
Yeah, I'm going to play some Bad Company, too.
Okay.
That's great.
Right.
Yep.
You can do it. It's your gig. Do what you want.
In the background, we'll play it. We'll
Did you like The Firm, too, with Paul Rogers?
Yeah.
All the King's
Horses?
Oh,
yeah. Fantastic.
I love
it. Yeah.
Better than Radioactive. I didn't care for Radioactive.
Yeah.
I love all That's the King's Horses.
Yeah. Remember the Honey Drippers?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was years
young
later.
Man,
like,
young Man's Blues?
Yeah.
And, I'll tell you, we used to go to liquor stores. I'm going to say Salem Street in Medford.
Mm-hmm.
And ask, will you buy some beer for us?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy with a voice like this. And, of course, we didn't put the full order in. There were three of us.
Yeah.
So I said, do you mind going back in? Because we're six-pack short. You're kidding me. You want me to get back in again? Kind of John McPhailish sounding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was just great to walk down the street with a single speaker cassette player with an AM/FM radio.
Yeah.
And then when the batteries died, you take them home and record, you know, with the batteries dead, then plug it in. It would speed the voice up.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we were easily entertained then, and nobody really messed with anybody. Nobody jumped you, and if they did, well, you know, there'd
be repercussions.
Yeah. Walter Umla, now deceased, comes from a family of nine. In eighth grade, I was talking to a girl from Revere, Diane, forget her last name.
Yeah, who cares?
And she said,
"Was she nice?"
Well, she's let me
we'll
Charles Grodin.
We'll remember.
May I continue? Is all right. Can I have the camera? Thank you.
I hope you die first.
Me too. I don't have to write any more money orders, for cripe's sake. So I go, Diane said that I said about Walter, I don't like shag hairdos. Well, I do love shag hairdos. The longer the hair, the more funny looking it is, the more I admire it.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if it was done choppy.
You just get lost in it.
Yeah, if it was done by...
it's like a bird in there.
Some cosmetologist named Mr. Bob in Malden Square. Mm-hmm. There was actually a guy like that. And I told him, people throw gum in my hair. How do I get out of it? Happened to me 100 times in high school. He goes, what you want to do is freeze the gum and then crack it up. All right, well, I never tried it. I just cut my hair. I just cut the gum out of my hair. But anyway, Diane's bragged to her boyfriend, Walter Umler. I made fun of his hairdo, which I didn't. Mm-hmm. So 8th grade, Roberts Junior High, Medford on Park Street, I believe. And he came one morning early at 7:45, and Diane was there. And he sucker punched me. I didn't see it coming.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
And he didn't knock me out, but back then, you got a fat lip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what you had.
I'll give you a fat lip. Well, oh, we should play some of the tube bar stuff.
Oh, yes.
That's dangerous, though.
Let's do that next time, because I definitely want to come back.
Yeah.
Because the timing's off right now.
I'll give you a fat lip.
How about, I'll stab you, watch all the black stuff drip out of your stomach. So anyway, it's so funny.
Yeah.
That tube bar out of Jersey City.
Oh, fantastic.
Did I turn you on to that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I had it before, but you had the full tape.
No, I have the 40-minute version.
Yeah, you had the 40-minute version.
And I know the Orson Welles cut we got to hear later,
yes,
too.
Yes.
Don't let me forget. So you make me remember. Mm-hmm. So anyway, my brother, Richard Paul Rapucci, named after me on Facebook, because I'm really Larry Rapucci. He used to stick up for me all the time. Of course, being an older brother, that's his role.
Well, my older brothers never did that.
Well, that's
it's nice that yours did, but mine did.
Well, did you have a younger sister?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, see, that's...
Well, yes, I do, actually. I got two of them.
Okay, okay. So you didn't miss out.
I almost forgot.
No. Yeah. They're such wonderful people, I almost forgot. See, you missed out on nothing, because you're currently the older brother to the younger sisters I did not have. So you're doing better than me.
Well, they're all divorced. We saw each other once a year.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Just take them to Pewter Pod, give them a corn muffin, and everything's fine.
Or
go to Carol's Diner and order a ham quickie.
Yeah, yeah.
So the bottom line is, my brother always skipped school. He was 4 years older than me. He's now deceased.
Uh-huh.
He died in 1978. I was 19. He was 23. And the ugly part of the story is my brother unfortunately killed himself. Please don't feel bad for me, because he doesn't have to deal with computers. Mm-hmm. Seth Rogen.
Right.
And all these other untalented beeps that walk this planet. They think they're something special and they're nothing.
Zuckerberg.
Yeah, my mother used to say, he thinks he's a hot crap, but he's really cold piss in a Dixie cup. Wow, that's good. I'm going to use that. So anyway, the end result was my brother would skip school. He put it down on the calendar. He would
skip school? Yeah.
He would count the days down on a calendar. I turned 16 these days. I'm no longer going to school. You never went to school. He stayed home all day and watched Mike Douglas.
Beautiful.
And he loved Beware My Love.
Yeah.
And What Do You Want From Life? Over and over, he'd play it.
I used to mark my calendar skip school.
Oh, but
I literally put it down, skip school.
But then, he upmarked the calendar, and he was getting closer to 18. This is the day. I turned 18 the day my mom's going to try to throw me out of the house.
Yeah.
She never did.
Well, that's good.
He was tough as nails.
Yeah.
And she wanted him out. I said, wow, just leave the guy alone, will you?
Yeah.
Anyway, the end result was my brother threatened to hurt himself if mom and dad didn't get back together. Well, they didn't, and he did.
Mm.
So the next thing I know, when Walter Umler sucker punched me, I came home. I walked home. I think I was a little concussed.
Mm-hmm.
But I still walked, because I've been burgled and concussed, but never Mirandized. So anyway, the next thing I know, I walk in the house, my fat lip, and my brother told me, if anybody ever bothers you or touches you, you tell me, I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
And he looked at my fat lip and said, give me a name.
Yeah.
Walter Umla. He lives in North Medford, across from Charlie Springer.
Nice.
Okay. Put on his Barry Park maroon jacket that's a BP on it.
Beautiful.
Went down and talked to all the other hooligans he used to hang with, about a pack of 20.
Uh-huh.
I'd say around dusk. We're talking 5:15 p.m.-ish. My brother pulled up with three carloads of kids with billy clubs, brass knuckles.
Wow.
And my brother was really drunk.
Yeah.
He said, you get in the middle seat in the back. I'm going to sit next to you. And he put his arm around me. He says, we're going to go visit Walter Umla. I said, good. He wasn't home that night.
Mm-hmm.
The whole way, everybody in the three cars is screaming, Barry Park!
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Barry Park!
Mm-hmm.
You don't mess with Barry Park. So, of course, my brother put his arm around me and said, and he was drunk, but I didn't care, because when you're drunk, real stuff comes out.
Sure.
You know, because that's why you medicate yourself, because you can't deal with sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're my brother, and I love you, and I'm gonna square accounts off with this maggot. So he wasn't home, but the mother stood up to my brother like, no one I've ever seen. You're not getting in this front door in this house. The father was running upstairs. He was a wimpy people pleaser.
Wow.
He looked like Dan Haggerty. I thought he'd be tougher.
Yeah.
But no, we never saw him again. And then he died of cancer, Walter Umler, in 2004, because I'd say every other day I check the obituaries in my hometown of Medford. Because
you were waiting for that one.
Not really.
No?
It screwed me up because...
What was the feeling when you saw it? Were you glad that it was a slow death?
Half of me went, aha, because mm-hmm. he died of cancer.
Yeah.
But the other half, I wish I got a chance to say goodbye to him.
Sure.
And say...
Beat the crap out of him.
This is what I'd say. And okay. I already thought of this.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I forgive you, Walter, but I don't want anything to do with you. Because uh-huh. you listen to your stupid girlfriend, Diane from Revere.
Right, right. Well, here's the other thing. And this is the part that's the part of the tragedy of life is... I bet you Walter never even thought about you. And here you are with this person in your mind most of your life. I think that happens with a lot of people.
I have to get over everything eventually, and I wish you wouldn't speak mm-hmm. for other people. Speak for you and me.
Right, right.
Hell, when you say, are you in love with someone? And they say, doesn't everybody want love? I'm asking you.
Right, right, right.
I don't care about everybody.
Yeah.
I care about people I care about. Even Bob Gautreaux said to me,
yes.
I don't even like people I like.
I know, great line.
I'm so glad fantastic. I heard that because it makes so much sense
mm-hmm.
that,
mm-hmm.
As we discussed on the commute.
And we talked about Bob saying to me once, well, not to me, but just in general, to beware of the people you meet on the way up because you're going to meet them on the way back down. And
yeah,
he's one of the nicest guys I know, and he has a lot of wisdom there.
He does.
Smart guy.
He has a lot of wisdom, but I heard something recently. There's always hope. There's just never a chance. I don't know what talk show I heard it on, but I think I woke up and heard that at 3 in the morning because I was destined to hear that.
Yeah.
And it's a shame what's happened to radio.
What do you think about synchronicity and moments like that where you're thinking of something and all of a sudden it comes right on? You know what I actually had in my hand when you called me was the joke book that you gave me from Rick D'Elia of Street Jokes. I was reading it.
Is that his book?
No, you gave it to me.
No,
it was his book.
It was Rick D'Elia's book?
Yes,
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, it was just a bunch of street jokes that he had copied from, you know, wherever.
Hmm.
You know.
I gave it to you because he gave it to me.
Gave it to me. I didn't borrow it.
I work with Henny.
It's his cream soda on it for some reason. What? On the back of the book, you wrote cream soda. And I don't know if it was just something you wanted to drink or... It was something that you were working on? I don't know.
You know how I go through stages where I say something and for a couple of months and then I let it go? Because
uh-huh.
people like Jack Lynn say, Larry, you got to change your saying, so I do.
Uh-huh.
But I work with Henny Youngman at Randolph Holiday Inn in 1994.
Uh-huh.
And he was signing books, giving them away, too. But I said, usually when a headliner works at Nick's in Boston, they do about 45 minutes. And Henny went, ha-ha! I go, how much time are you going to do? He goes, I'm 92 years old. I'm doing 25 minutes. I don't care what anybody thinks.
Yeah, yeah.
But the funniest thing he said that night to me was, George Burns is so old, they make him pay for a three-minute egg up front. So, and I work at Frank Gorshin, too.
Yeah.
And I was all nervous, and not because of Batman, because
he's
Frank.
Did he wear the suit? Yeah.
No, but a couple of maggots in the audience did. I was like, what are you doing?
Oh, come on.
You got the right body for it. Yeah. So what? You never see
Put one of them on stage.
Yeah, You never see a skinny guy in a penguin outfit with Dick Tracy. They just want to show off their body.
Yeah.
But I was hung up on intros. We worked together. I go, Chris, what do you want for an intro? Maybe you plug in a book or...
Right, right.
Frank Gorshin, what do you want for an intro? Ready? Ladies and gentlemen, Frank Gorshin.
There you go.
Thank you. You made it easy for me.
Well, how many times? And it's a brilliant response because how many times have these morons over the years, you know, some freaking host or some other freaking comic, you know, say.